I'm Richard van Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 169 for the weekend starting 3 March 2017.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, the best of MWC 2017.
Also this week, MTN's results, Cell C's restructuring, and shared data plans from Telkom and Cell C. They look pretty cool.
Time to put some spit on those pop filters.
Sus! Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Rafa?
How's it, Duncan?
Good, good, good. So let's get started with our quiz. Do you want to kick it off?
Yes. First question in this week's quiz. Which mobile group this week reported its first loss in more than 20 years?
Starting with an easy one this week. Second question. The world's largest music streaming service has surpassed 50 million paying subscribers. Who are they?
And the third question. Sony this week announced a new flagship device that will go on sale in autumn. What is this new flagship called? And we're going to be talking about it in the show, so keep an ear out for that.
Fourth question. Rob Shooter is taking over as MTN's CEO soon. In fact, it's next week, I think. But the group also has a new chief financial officer. Who is that?
And the last question. Which company announced this week that it will acquire 15% of Cell C?
That's our quiz. As always, we'll get to the answers to the to those questions at the end of the show. But we're going to get into our news now. And Richard, lots of new phones, lots of new
lots
toys.
Lots of mobile goodies coming, yes.
Announced at Mobile World Congress, as always. The one missing this year, of course, was the Samsung S8. Mm-hmm. Samsung, of course, announcing in the middle of the keynotes from all its competitors that they will be announcing their phone in late March. I think it's March 29.
And they had to steal the show somehow.
They did, yeah. So the S8's coming late March. We'll have the details, but also leaking in the last few days, probably from Samsung themselves, a picture of the S8. And I must say, it looks quite nice. It's quite similar to the S7, but dropping, as we expected, the home button and looking like a nice device. But we'll have to find out exactly what the details are later this month.
I'm sure it's hiding some interesting tech underneath that front bezel.
Absolutely. But the phone that probably got talked about more than any other phone at Mobile World Congress, funnily enough, was not a smartphone. It was the revamped Nokia 3310 from HMD, which is the company that is now manufacturing phones under the Nokia name. It's not the old Nokia as we know it. It's a company called HMD that's manufacturing them under license from Nokia. But the 3310, we spoke about it in quite some detail on last week's show, but we didn't know what it was going to look like. We've seen pictures now, we've seen the videos and the demos, and I quite like it.
I like it, I agree. I mean, it's a nice, slick version of it. They didn't go too far from the kind of design we all fell in love with, and it just shows you the power of some nostalgia and tech.
Indeed. The updated version of Snake looks really cool, I must say.
It could be worth it just getting it for old-school gaming. Mm.
A lot of commentators pointed out, and I agree with them, that the phone should have had a... ideally would have had WhatsApp or a similar messaging service integrated into it. I think WhatsApp probably would have been ideal, especially for markets like South Africa. Yeah. And maybe they were missing a trick in this being a pure feature phone, in that there's no way
to the smart app or to the apps.
Yeah, yeah.
Surprised. I was secretly hoping that they would introduce an operating system that was more akin to the Android that we know today, but with some reworked versions of apps for smart devices. I guess they didn't see the market big enough for that yet. Mm.
And I suppose the 3310 is really a marketing tool for them to get people to notice HMD and the fact that Nokia's back. Yeah, perhaps more so than them actually wanting to sell millions of these phones.
Exactly.
But it's a nice looking phone. They've done a good job with it. It's true to its origins, but it looks like a thoroughly modern feature phone.
It does. And I think they did a good job with not trying to introduce the latest and greatest device and using this as their, like you said, their kind of their intro into the market. Mm. And it will definitely be the phone that I get as a secondary phone you can take on, the old hike or the old camping trip or even to go cycle with. I mean, it's got a camera. It's not a high-res camera, but it'll... it'll capture the right images at the right time. I'll definitely add one to my arsenal.
Yeah. I look forward to playing with one. But certainly you can't use it as your primary phone unless you deliberately do not want to be bothered with email and...
might be a good way to get off the grid.
Indeed. You don't want to get WhatsApp messages every 5 seconds, yeah. Then maybe that's an alternative. And one suggestion was that maybe executives would use this phone as a holiday phone.
Mm.
So when you go on holiday, leave the smartphone behind, and you take this with you, so you get disturbed much less than you otherwise might have. But it looks nice. It looks nice, I must say. But maybe it does say something about the state of the smartphone market if a feature phone is the one that got the most attention.
Yeah, I mean, that's another good point. Have we seen everything we think we need to see? Mm. I mean, we're all anticipating this wave of AR and VR technology that's going to be hitting our phones. Maybe this is just the calm before the storm, you know?
Maybe. I thought the latest wave of smartphones announced at MWC this year were a bit. They were nice, but they there's nothing revolutionary there at all.
Yeah.
It was really they were all trying to outdo each other on specs.
Mm.
You know, the Sony Xperia XZ Premium, for example, very nice looking phone, and the phone that won Best of Show from the GSMA, which organises the Mobile World Congress. It looks lovely. It's got a 4K camera. It does. It'll be very good at slow mo because it can shoot at 960 frames a second, which is unbelievable.
That's going to be fantastic to experiment with.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I think that what the iPhone does it, but only at 240. I think.
Yeah, it's quite a low resolution. Mm. At 60 odd frames a second, I think. Or at least the one that I've got, the 6S.
I think it can do 240. If you shoot at a lower res.
Isn't that the iPhone 7 that can?
iPhone 7. Yeah, yes. So this one will do 960. I'm not sure that'll shoot at 960 at 4K. I'd have to check.
No, it'll probably be 1080p.
Probably 1080p or 720. Even 720p. But the phone can shoot at 4K, and it has a 4K display. Sony did previously do a 4K a phone. I think it was the Z5 Premium, if I remember correctly. Mm. But it wasn't 4K all the time. For the most part, it was defaulting to 1080p, and then it would would enable 4K. I'm not quite sure how it worked, but the default display to use end user when you're just using it to browse the web or check your email was 1080p. Mm. And then if you fired up a 4K video, it would change to 4K. I'm not quite sure how it did that. It did that because it needed to save battery. If this is 4K natively, then one wonders what the battery is going to do. Because the biggest disappointment, I thought, in the specs of the XZ Premium is that it only has a 2900 milliamp hour battery.
Yeah, that's not a lot. I mean, again, rather give us a slightly thicker phone with a better battery life.
Yeah, indeed.
Do you think you'll upgrade to this? I mean, you're a fan of the previous Xperia range.
Yeah, I like the Sony. I've recently gone back to my Z5, and it's a lovely phone. I really like what Sony does with the software. They're a bit slow in pushing out the Android updates, but the Xperia software is nice. There's a bit of bloatware and some apps you don't want or need in there, but generally speaking, it's a solid phone. It's a bit boring. I don't think Sony's ever been terribly exciting in the design front. But you'd recognize a Sony lying on a table quite easily.
It's a solid device, and I've seen a good few of them out in the wild. So they're obviously popular among many consumers.
They're very popular in South Africa, yeah. And their cameras are a big selling point, really, and their cameras are fantastic. And certainly that's what they've been pushing with the XZ, apart from the screen, the camera technology and the new, I think they call it Motion Eye, the slow-mo capability. It's actually a smaller... the pixel density is the size of the images is smaller on the new one, 19 megapixel I think, compared to 23 megapixel sensors that they've been using in most of their high-end devices over the last 2 years or so. Sure.
Over 12 megapixel really, it doesn't matter. Over 8, the size of the glass and your sensor is really what is affecting your image quality.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't be too worried about a low resolution on these phones.
No. I mean, 19 megapixels is more than enough megapixels.
I remember the days of shooting on a stiffy on the old Sony Mavicas. I don't know if you remember those brands. That brand of Sony digital camera. Yeah, 640 by 480. Good old days of digital photography.
Yeah. So that's the Sony Xperia XZ Premium. It's probably going to come in with a premium price tag as well. I'm guessing around $1,000, which at the current exchange rate is probably going to come in around 18,000 rand.
One for the contract then.
Indeed. Some other phones, Huawei P10. Did you have a chance to look at that one?
Yeah, it looks interesting. I really like what the brand is doing. Their devices, although they do seem to look like the other high-end smartphones, slick, and they seem to be solidly built. I look forward to getting one in my hands and really trying them out.
But, yeah. Yeah, it's a nice phone. It's once again incremental, but Huawei doing good things, building solid devices that I think they have transformed themselves from being seen as a cheap, perhaps a little unreliable brand to being a premium brand in the market.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're all using Huawei routers these days too. I mean, the brand really has some. Yeah. They get into your tech life, and I think the quality speaks for themselves.
For sure. For sure. Nokia, of course, announcing some Android phones. They didn't particularly excite me, I must say.
Yeah.
Nothing really to write home about there. Look forward to seeing the Nokia. I think it's the Nokia 6.
Yeah, the Nokia 6
that they introduced in China. That's their flagship. That will be coming to our market soon, hopefully. We'll have a review up on that if it does. And the LG G6, that seemed to impress a lot of people. I think it impressed a lot of people just simply because it wasn't the LG G5.
Yearning for something better.
The G5 was a disappointment. It was that modular phone, if you recall. I guess similar to what Motorola's done with the Moto Z and Moto Z Force. But it's a nice looking phone. It looks competent. My problem with LG has always been the software, their version of Android. It looks a bit amateurish. And I think that, from what I saw in the demos, it still looked like LG software. I think they need to do some work in that regard. I think certainly Huawei's done a lot of work in improving the UI in their implementation of Android. But I think everyone's still chasing, in the Android world anyway, everyone's still chasing Sony, because I think they do the best Android UI.
Yeah, but it does look, it's a beautiful, on that screen and on those devices, it's a beautiful operating system.
Yeah. Anything else at Mobile World this year that's stood out for you?
No, I kind of thought the new BlackBerry was an interesting looking phone in line with what the company has been doing. Well, with their old devices at least, the big screen with the keyboard. But I don't think it's going to go too far, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and this is the first one of the first they're producing through their partners, right? It's not their own phone.
Yeah,
it's just the BlackBerry name. So it's a bit like Nokia and HMD.
Exactly. A surprising amount of those kind of brands at this year's Mobile World Congress. Old brands that we used to love, but now developed by another company. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't travel to Mobile World Congress, to be honest with you. I think we got the gist of it remotely.
And obviously, I mean, the other big area of focus this year was, beyond talking about gadgets and handsets, it seems the talk of the show this year was 5G.
Even better internet speeds coming.
Yeah, gigabit level. Wireless broadband, but it's not going to be here for many years to come, and there's a lot of political and regulatory issues that have to be sorted out before, especially in this country, before we can even think about using 5G. So I would imagine that we're really only going to have 5G handsets in consumers' hands towards the early part of the next decade. Still a long way to run.
Something
4G.
To look forward to with our fiber back all these days.
Indeed. Anyway, lots of 4G LTE to look forward to, I think, still for years to come as that standard continues to get developed. So that was the show. That was Barcelona for another year. We, of course, looking forward to the Samsung announcement later this month.
Very much.
And then I guess we're going into a bit of a drought in terms of announcements before Apple's big keynotes.
For the big summer announcement.
What is the next one? It's Worldwide Developers Conference, right?
WWDC,
And what do they typically announce at WWDC? Refresh of laptops or...
I think it's the iPad range.
Is it iPad?
The portables, maybe the laptops too.
Yeah.
I don't know if they. We'll see anything in the Mac Pro side of things this year.
Probably not. Oh, Mac Pro, of course. Pro, that needs a refresh. I was thinking MacBook Pro. That Mac Pro is really getting long in the tooth. I think I've been reading a couple of articles of Apple fanboys clamoring for a return to the old design. The big metal case. Not this little cylindrical goodie.
So you can actually upgrade some of the components.
So you can actually upgrade it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We all would. I would love to see that.
Yeah, that Mac Pro is expensive, isn't it?
It is, and it was a bit of a white elephant after a month or two.
It was, especially being non-upgradable.
Ouch.
Expensive paperweight by now. And then Google, of course, Google I.O. also around the June timeframe.
That's always an event that I look forward to.
Yeah. The new Android really announcement.
Interesting tech coming out of that.
And then later in the year, I think it's around September, we get the iPhone. We'll have the iPhone X or iPhone 10 or iPhone 8 or whatever it gets called.
Yeah, probably iPhone 8.
Well, those are the two phones I'm really looking forward to this year, seeing is the S8 and the iPhone, the next iPhone.
And the iPhone, Good year ahead.
Anyway, let's come back to South Africa and MTN, which is the biggest telecommunications operator in Africa. And not in South Africa, they're second here to Vodacom, but they're the biggest on the continent. They announced their full year results for the year ending 31 December 2016, and it's the first time in over 20 years that they've reported a loss. The company's saying that this has been the toughest year they've ever had. And it really is a perfect storm of things that's hit them. You know, the biggest, of course, was the problem up in Nigeria, the Nigerian fine, but they've also got hit by the very weak Naira. We think our economy is in a poor state. The Nigerian economy is far worse. And those are just two of the things. I mean, there's a range of issues that hit them. And I think it probably is good in a way in that I think it's forced them to refocus and reevaluate their business. I think they'd probably become quite complacent over the years. They built a very big, very profitable business with fat profit margins. The market is changing. I think that they got a wake-up call. They came to realize that, you know, they had problems with their corporate governance. They didn't necessarily have the right skills in the right places, including the board of directors. They had the wrong structure in place. And they've made a lot of changes in the last 18 months under Putuma Nhleko, who has been their most successful CEO. He was previously their CEO, I think, from around 2005 to around 2012 or 2010, somewhere around there, if I recall correctly. And he led them through that really acquisitive growth stage where they bought a number of Pan-African and Middle Eastern businesses and really expanded into the 22 markets that they're operating in today. I don't think he ever really intended or wanted to come back as acting CEO, which is what he's been doing for the last 18 months. But he's been leading a wholesale change in that organization. Corporate governance has had a massive overhaul. They've brought in a huge number of new executives. A lot of executives have retired or resigned. There's a new chief financial officer, Ralph Mupita, ex-Old Mutual. There is a new CEO starting on the 13th of March in the form of Rob Shooter, who is a former chief CFO for Vodacom Group and also head of was a top executive at Vodafone in Europe. Also a former CEO of Nedbank Retail, so he comes with both telecoms and financial services background, highly rated. So he's starting as CEO in just over a week from now. This was the last set of results that was presented by the old management team under Putuma. And they brought in a whole range of new people, you know, new chief acquisitions and strategy officer in the form of Stephen van Coller, who they hired from ABSA or Barclays Africa Group. I forget all the names, but they've hired a new guy to head up the enterprise business from BT. They've got a new chief chief operating officer who they brought in from Vodafone. He's the former CEO of Vodafone in Germany. So they've hired some heavy hitters. You know, the share price, despite them reporting this loss and the worst year they've ever had, the share price after the results went up 10%. And a lot of the analysts I've spoken to have said that this could be the, they could have hit the bottom now, and that, you know, with the new management team coming in, with Rob Shooter coming in, he's going to bring in more changes. The whole business is changing away from voice. It's the first time I've heard them talking so openly about the fact that their voice business is going away, that their future is...
You don't hear that often from telecoms companies.
You don't.
If you embrace that, talk about it.
Vodacom is doing it as well now, but you're right, it's a new thing. You know, especially when these companies still do make, you know, at least half of their revenues from voice, but they're now talking about the voice business going away. and being replaced primarily by data and digital services.
Yeah.
And they see digital services as their big growth area. And they've invested in some interesting businesses. They're invested in a company called Snap, S-N-A-P-P, which is an Iranian company, which is the Iranian equivalent of Uber. They own 85% of the market there, growing very quickly, doing 100,000 rides a day.
That's impressive.
Yeah. The Iranian market, you know, they're in a lot of interesting places. Iran, the sanctions have just been lifted, of course. Donald Trump is making new noises about, Iran and clamping down on them again. So there's some risk there. But for the moment, they've been able to get their cash out of there. They have recently taken 6.5 billion rand out of the Iranian operation, which I think helped push up the share price at the announcement of the results yesterday. But they're investing in interesting new areas, doing interesting things. I was chatting to the CEO of MTN Nigeria, which is their biggest operation, and they're doing some interesting stuff as well in the prepaid electricity market. They're selling these solar-powered electricity units into the market, which apparently are proving hugely popular. So they're doing some interesting stuff. But they've still got huge challenges. I mean, Nigeria is their biggest market, and that economy is in serious trouble. And no sign it's turning around anytime soon, especially with the oil price remaining quite low, relatively speaking. Iran, you know, it's improved, but they're not out of the woods there yet. Mm. Many of the markets across Africa, including South Africa, are facing very tight economic conditions. So while there are lots of opportunities, there's also risk. But, you know, if you're a risk-averse investor, maybe it's time to buy some MTN shares.
Well, they've got some good infrastructure. I don't think they're going to go anywhere quickly.
No,
you're going to have to connect to something.
Yeah, it's still a growth industry, despite all the challenges they've had this year. And I think the fact that they've had such a shock to the system is probably good for them in the long term, because it's allowed them, I think, to consider their processes, their corporate governance, the way they do things, what the market looks like, how they need to compete, how the market's changing, what they need to do in a tight operational environment. I think it puts them in a good position for future growth. And I look forward to seeing. I know Rob Shooter. I've interviewed him on a couple of occasions. He's a very down-to-earth, relaxed guy. He's a serious player. You have to be a serious player to run Vodafone operations in Europe, I think. I think he's going to bring some interesting new views and perhaps even a new culture to MTN.
Yeah, something that's definitely needed.
So we'll be watching that with a great deal of interest. Right now, we need to take an ad break. We'll be back right after this.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Welcome back to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
So, talking about mobile operators, there's quite a lot of action in the mobile market in South Africa just in the last week, actually. Cell C, I think we spoke about it in last week's show as well. Big restructuring going on there and recapitalization of that business. Cell C firming up the plans to buy 45% of the business for 5.5 billion rand. Just a couple of days later, and I think kind of as expected, NetOne UEPS Technologies announcing plans to acquire 15% of Cell C for 2 billion rand. NetOne, of course, has been in the news over the last few days, the last few weeks, for its subsidiary Cash Paymaster Services, or CPS, which is the company that has the tender to pay welfare grant recipients in South Africa.
It's not going too well there.
We all know the scandal around the Department of Social Development and the South African Social Development Agency, and the fact that they've done absolutely nothing about renewing or issuing a new tender or bringing it in-house. the payment of the 17 million social grants in South Africa. And now it looks like by default CPS is going to carry on with that tender, even though the Constitutional Court found that the tender was illegal. A messy situation. And I suppose the cynic in me wonders now with the acquisition of Cell C whether those 17 million social grant recipients are all suddenly going to have Cell C SIM cards delivered to them at the welfare pay points.
Yeah, look, they are wrapping some really interesting services around it, so you have to ask.
So Cell C's recapitalization moving ahead, all those deals have to be done by the middle of this year. That's the deadline they've set for themselves. Telkom, which was potentially making a play, not clear if they were just muddying the waters or whether they were serious about making an offer. They've been forced into the sidelines. I'm sure they'll come back if something happens in the intervening period. But for now, it looks like this deal is going to go ahead, and that the recapitalization of Cell C is going to be led by this restructuring involving Blue Label and NetOne UEPS Technologies. Let's hope that the outcome of this is that it's going to mean a stronger Cell C, able to compete more effectively with MTN and Vodacom. Mm. Cell C has always been seen, until recently, I think, as the consumer champion in this market. It's taken on the big guys with quite aggressive pricing, but it was disappointing, I think, earlier this year when they increased their prices across the board. This is the price champion suddenly coming out and saying, actually, guys, we need to push up our prices. This happening just a few weeks before they announced that that they defaulted on payments to some of their lenders, which makes you wonder just how precarious Cell C's situation is prior to this restructuring with the Blue Label guys. Cell C sitting on north of 20 billion rand in debt, and with this recapitalization, they're saying they're going to get that down to below 6 billion. Still a lot of money, but hopefully it'll put them in a stronger position to invest in network compared to MTN and Vodacom, which are investing 10 or more billion rand every year each in their networks, and it's difficult to compete with that.
Yeah.
So we'll be watching that one with a great deal of interest. The last story I wanted to chat about this week, and Richard, I know you've had a look at these plans as well. I think they're pretty cool. They started on Sunday, actually, with Telkom announcing an extension, really, to those groundbreaking freemi plans that were announced last year. Those data-led plans, huge amounts of data with a whole lot of voice and free SMS and social media and WhatsApp data.
Great
packages, very good, aggressive, the sort of thing you'd expect a smaller player to do to gain market share. Now they announced new plans called Freemi Family, which is not only aimed at families but any groups, really, groups of people, up to 10 people. So it could be your family, it could be your small business, it could just be a bunch of mates who want to save some money on their cell phone bills. So what happens is you get an allocation of data which you can then share between SIMs. You can control all of this through a web portal, and you can allocate. So let's say you've got a wife and two kids. You can say you then subscribe to, say, a 50 gig a month freemi bundle, which I forget the price. I think it's $8.99 or $9.99. The details are on Tech Central. That gives you a pool of minutes that you can share between all of those SIMs, and also a pool of data which you can then allocate. So your two kids, for example, could get 5 gigs each, and then your wife and yourself could, say, get 30 gigs, or no, what would it work out to? 20 gigs each. Let's say you've got a whole bunch of data left towards the end of the month. You simply reallocate it to one of the kids who's running low.
It's a great idea.
It's great flexibility there.
It's something that's, I think, been needing for a long time, because, I mean, you know how it goes. You probably handle the tech stuff in the house. When it comes time to look at the cell phone contracts, it's all on different platforms, finding out which is the best method to top up data and how to manage the data can be quite a nightmare if you have a number of devices.
Indeed. What ends up happening is that, say little Johnny's on a Vodacom contract and you're on an MTN contract and little Johnny's almost out of data, you end up giving little Johnny 100 rand so he can buy more data while you're actually sitting on a huge amount of data on your phone, you're not going to use. So it makes much more sense if you're both on the same plan just to reallocate some of that data to little Johnny. And then he can use it, and you don't have to pay extra. So a lot of these operators, I think they call it breakage. They really rely on breakage for a lot of their profitability. They actually rely on customers not using their data and it expiring. In this environment, it gives you a lot more control over that, and you can actually stop a lot of that breakage from happening by reallocating data to other people, either in your business or in your family.
Exactly. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, data today is such a commodity, as much as what connecting to the internet is, and you need to be able to share that, especially if you have a lot of, especially with a lot of these packages coming out now with up to 100 gigabytes of data. Similar to sharing a music subscription service, you know.
Yes.
Pointless in having one just on your phone where you create playlists and only you can listen to it. If you share it with your family, everybody can get in on to that kind of package, and I think that there's a lot more value behind it for these services.
No, it's brilliant. These sort of plans have been on offer in the US for many years, and I'm surprised it's taken anyone in the South African market this long to introduce them. But Cell C announcing just a day after Telkom introduced these, which makes me think they actually had made me think they had them ready already, and they were just waiting for a competitor to introduce them before they did anything about it. It's, I had a look at the Cell C plans. They're also quite aggressively priced, but they're not as good as the Telkom plans.
Yeah. No, Telkom certainly hit the nail with that one.
Yeah, they did, yes.
Let's hope it filters through to the other operating service providers at least.
Yes.
Would love to manage more data more effectively, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. The Telkom one's really good. I mean, the fact that they also include free on-net phone calls, so you could phone anyone in your small business or in your family for free.
That's great.
Yeah. So effectively, it's free. It means free calls.
Free calls within a family, and you'll use as much data as you can to probably.
Yes. And on the high-end package, they also include minutes on the Telkom packages, which the Cell C ones do not.
Nice.
So off-network calls as well. So very aggressively priced, and really expanding that sort of offering further into the market.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing Telkom's results. I think their year end is March, so it's only less than a month to go until their year end, so we should see their results by early May. It's going to be very interesting to see what impact this premier has actually had on their subscriber numbers.
I'm sure it'll be a very good impact. A lot of people have been raving about it.
It's not. I don't think these packages are aimed at the mass. They're not aimed at the mass prepaid market, but. Which I suppose is clever as well, because you want the higher ARPU customers and the more contract type customers coming across from the other networks. I know quite a few people have ported to Freemi now, and they've moved off networks that they've been with for a long time. I'm one of them. I've ported to Freemi, and it's good value.
It's been so fun. Reception, all that's good?
It's fine. What they say is that you should make sure that you have strong Telkom signal at your home and office. Because their coverage is not as good as the other networks, and the last thing you want is to be roaming because they have the roaming agreement with MTN, and it's a 3G roaming agreement only. So you want to make sure you've got a decent 4G LTE coverage if you're on Telkom. But if you've got good coverage at where you live and where you work, then it's a no-brainer.
That works.
If you don't have good coverage, then you probably want to consider your options more. So that's it. Yeah. That's our news as well. Shall we get on to our regular features?
Yes, indeed.
So let's start with our loser, because we were just talking about Sasa and all the rest of it. I'm not going to dwell on this too long, but our loser this week is Butter Biled Dlamini, the Minister of Social Development, for doing absolutely nothing about renewing or finding and issuing a new tender or bringing the payment of social grants in-house. She's been utterly useless at this as a minister, and basically sitting on her bum and doing nothing, and now petitioning the court to ask CPS just to continue with this deal, even though the court found years ago that the CPS deal was unlawful. So, she really she should be fired, but of course she won't be.
Probably get promoted.
She's our loser this week. And well, in fact, as a member of the ANC Women's League, she's. She is firmly behind and rooting for a candidate to be next president. So she's one of the players there, and she's rooting for Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma to be the successor ANC president to Jacob Zuma. But she's not the loser for that reason. She's loser this week for the mess around the social services contract. And our winner this week is none other than Evan Spiegel. He's the CEO of Snap Inc., the owner of Snapchat, which listed yesterday. And he is now a multi-billionaire.
A wonderful thing that taking your public, your company public.
I was very surprised at how well this company performed on its debut. I was actually not expecting this at all. I was really expecting this company to crash and burn, to be honest. But I'm just looking at their share price now, day two. So on the first day, the share price soared 50%, giving them a market cap of $30 billion. And it is now up another 10% in New York to $26.79, a new high. And the market cap at $31 billion. I think it was the Financial Times this morning who wrote that this whole story really smacks of the blind leading the blind. You've got a bunch of fickle kids using an app who may move on to the next big thing next week. An app that anyone over 40 can't figure out how to use, that they actually had to include instructions in the prospectus that they published so that investors could understand how the app works. I don't know. What could be risky about it? It's worth three times as much as Twitter, by the way.
That's incredible. Twitter's got actual value behind it.
Well, I don't know about that.
Value in terms of the information you get from it. I think this
true. Yeah, yeah, the business model is a bit broken.
Actual meat behind the content. Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm just too old. Maybe I just don't understand what Snapchat is.
Ah, you crazy kids, get off my lawn.
Do you use Snapchat? Do
you? No, I don't at all. No. I installed it. I played with it for a bit.
I did as well. I couldn't figure it out.
It's I hate to be one of the demographic that's not a Snapscan.
I use Snapscan a lot.
That's what I use. That's my Snap.
But yeah, I just don't. There we go. I just touched another high. It's almost $27 a share now.
Sure.
I don't get it. I honestly do not get this app. Clearly, I'm too old. But what I do worry is that this is a, that demographic. They're fickle. They can move on to the next thing. It's not like Facebook. Facebook's got a much older demographic. People are locked in. They've got a habit of logging into Facebook to see what people said that day.
And these other platforms now have the same features and filters. And
exactly. Facebook is copying a lot of Snapchat.
So they're not as unique anymore. So
Instagram has copied a lot of Snapchat's features. Very risky. They need to broaden their focus. But I don't know. Maybe the appetite's just there because this is the first tech listing of the year in the U.S. There goes the share price. It's just on $27 now. Up over 10% now. Amazing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Anyway, Evan Spiegel, who is the CEO, is a very rich man. What's your pick this week?
So, I'm a Mac user and I'm an app user and I love trying out new services and things. And I came across this really cool application called SetApp. And it's really, if I explain to you like this, you'll understand exactly what it is. But it's like the Netflix for apps, for Mac apps. And essentially what it does is for a monthly fee, you get access to, I'm trying to see the number here, but there's a large number of high quality applications that you get part of your subscription. Now, this is not the kind of apps you get with a lot of these kind of free subscriptions or Humble Bundle or those kind of things.
Okay.
I actually own some of these applications individually, and I paid upwards of $90 for some of them. So there are some really good high quality applications on here that actually fulfill some serious tasks. Yeah. iStat Menus is one I've spoken about on this podcast before, one of my favorite apps. I think that cost me $25. Clean My Mac. It's another app that I've spent some money on a few years ago, and that was also another $20 or $30. But essentially, yeah, you sign up for the service. First month is free. You don't need to put in your credit card details. You can go in and check out all these applications.
Yeah.
It's basically productivity stuff. There's some compression software, some video ripping software to rip video from any source onto your computer. There's some really good code editors, some backup applications. It's well worth checking out. I'm still not sure if $10 a month.
Yeah,
I mean it's a little bit pricey, but getting access to some of these apps is very handy, and I would certainly run it for a month or two.
So when once you get the app, you can keep it.
Yeah, so you keep the current version of the app that you installed or you ran at the time, and once you stop subscription, you can still use it, but obviously you won't be eligible for the updates.
I see.
I'm not sure how they can gonna curb people buying, installing, and then stopping it for a year. That seems like a way to get around it.
Yeah.
Maybe they bring in different price plans. You know, maybe one for developers, one for visual editors.
But you said they have a different set of apps every month, or
no, it's the same set of apps, but they do add new apps. I just got a notification 5 minutes ago that they do add.
So it's always the same apps.
You'll always have the same base apps, unless obviously some licensing agreement change. But if they do remove it, you'll retain use of that app.
Interesting model.
It is an interesting model. Like I said, some of these apps individually cost a lot of money. And if you look at it like that, and you were going to buy a $90 app, you can do this over 9 months, have access to all these other apps, and you'll break even. And it is high quality applications. Distro is another one that I spent, I think, also $90, $85 on.
Wow.
It's a great application to recover lost partitions and manage your hard drive partitions or smart drives, SSDs, and that kind of thing. So I can definitely, it was those applications that kind of piqued my interest when I looked at this. You know, this wasn't just another set of free apps that you can buy for $2 each.
It's kind of for smaller app developers. I mean, this, you're just not going to get Microsoft Office or the Adobe Suite through this thing.
No. Yeah. But the applications on here are really good. They do, especially in certain creative industries. You know, there's a clipboard manager, which I've used daily as well. You can copy and keep various clipboard style items that you can then reuse in any application that you're using. So it's productivity apps that Mac users will be familiar with. If you've installed kind of any Mac application over the last few years and you know the quality of application that's available out there, they just did a repository of that and put a Netflix-style slant on it.
Okay.
I'll keep you updated as to how I'm using it. It's only been a few days now. I needed one specific app for it, which is why I signed up instead of paying for the app outright.
How much was the app on its own?
The app was $25. I'm still saving money.
Yeah.
I used that for what I needed to. I probably won't need that function again for a while.
Yes.
But something worth keeping.
Sounds like a good idea. Worth going to check out. So it's setapp.com.
Setapp.com.
Well worth checking out as Snapchat shares. Snap Inc. shares hit $27.14. Unbelievable. Up 11% now. Amazing. Absolutely incredible. We need to list something, Erechot. Let's list this podcast.
Yeah, let's do it. TC 101.
We will list Talk Central on the NASDAQ. We'll issue the prospectus next week. Everyone listening to the show, we expect you to sign up for shares. So my pick this week, and I'm continuing with this theme that I've had for the last few weeks of security.
Security and a bit of an overall mission.
I am indeed. I'm securing everything down, locking it down tight, investigating PGP security for email, everything.
Question is, do you have that sticky tape over your webcam?
I don't yet.
Okay, well then all your other efforts are mute.
I'm mute. Yeah, someone's watching me anyway. So my pick this week is an app called Bitdefender. It's for Android. It's a antivirus software. It's available for Mac and Windows as well, but it's specifically the Android version that I'm interested in. And I did a lot of research actually for security apps for Android, and the consensus, from what I can tell from reading widely online, is that Bitdefender is the best at the moment. In terms of security software for Windows.
There used to be Android on desktop. I remember back when I was still building PCs, they were one of the top antivirus applications.
Okay. I don't know them that well. I've certainly never used their software on Windows or Mac.
No, they've been around for ages.
But they're a Romanian company. They come quite highly recommended by a lot of websites and magazines that investigate antivirus software specifically. Mm. They're either number one or two in most lists that I looked at for Android, and it looks pretty cool. There's a free basic version, but I installed the full version. There's a 2 week trial, 14 days I think it is, where you can test it out before you subscribe. The subscription fee is reasonable. It's $15 a year. $15. Is it a year or a month? I've forgotten now. I'd have to check that. Yeah, please check that, Rechot. I think it's a year, actually.
I wouldn't imagine price, it would be per month. That's a little...
It would be a bit pricey if it was per month. And it's good software. It does a range of things. It's obviously a basic antivirus scanner. So if any virus comes onto your phone, it's likely to pick it up. And apparently they pick up 99.9% of all known malware. But it does other things as well. For example, if your phone gets stolen, it does clever things like it can SMS another number with a PIN that will allow you to check exactly on Google Maps where your phone is at any given moment.
Oh, that's cool.
It will also, if someone takes the SIM out of your phone, which you'd expect someone to do when they've stolen your phone, it'll take a, or if there's any attempt to tamper with your phone in any way that you specify, it'll take a photo without telling the person holding the phone that the photo is being taken
of the person, yeah,
and
yeah.
It'll send it to you.
That's great. That's a nice feature.
You can see who's stolen your phone. It also lets you lock down your apps. So it'll give you advice on all the apps. It'll tell you, for example, all the permissions that various apps on your phone have, and it'll tell you whether those permissions are in any way a security risk. I had half a dozen or maybe even a dozen apps on my phone that it said are a moderate security risk. I trust it just alerts them and say, if you don't trust the developer behind this, you probably shouldn't give them these permissions. I was happy with all of the developers behind those apps I was using. None of the apps I was using were considered a high risk, but presumably there will be high risk apps, and it'll flag those up if it's accessing things. You know, I think there are a lot of things like wallpaper apps and that sort of things which ask for access to your contacts, which they don't need and probably shouldn't.
On a mobile device, you're so quickly to tap.
You
just
are.
Accept because you're except, not, you no. don't think you don't, that anything would be tied to your personal information. Yeah.
Now, if I'm installing an app from a Microsoft or a Google or someone like that, I actually don't really have a problem hitting accept, allow this, etc., etc. In fact, some of the Facebook requests I get on my Android phone, I've taken to saying no, and Facebook carries on working fine.
Because that's just an individual or a third party wanting access to some of that information.
But if it's an app that I don't necessarily trust the publisher, it's a publisher I haven't heard of, a developer I haven't heard of, then I'm certainly not going to give them access to my contacts or sort of thing. If they need basic internet access, sure. But if they want the ability to make phone calls and all that sort of thing, and it's a thing to change your wallpaper, actually no. So it'll alert you. It'll just give you a good insight into what all of those apps do. The other thing it does is it'll allow you to set a PIN code on specific apps.
That's cool.
Which is nice as well. So I set, I bank with F&B. My F&B app, when I fire it up now, I have to type in a PIN code before the app will even open. I still need to log in using my fingerprint to do my banking.
Sure.
But the app itself won't even open now without a PIN code. It's probably a bit of overkill.
If I was a parent, I'd use that on a kid's device to also just prevent access to.
Yes, indeed.
Pokemon Go, for example.
A lot of parents give their phones to their kids. Oh, you want to play a game? Sure, here you go.
Yeah.
But hey, you don't want the kid getting onto your browser or
selling all your shares in SnapScan.
Exactly.
Or Snapchat.
Reading your Facebook or anything. You can just lock down those apps.
Great feature.
And it also, if I recall correctly, I stand to be corrected here. I'd have to go back and check, but I think it has parental control features as well that you can set on your kid's phone. You don't want them accessing certain websites and that sort of thing. It's a cool app.
I checked on the price. It is per year.
It's per year. I thought so, yeah. So it's called Bitdefender for Android. It's available in the Play Store. And after considerable research, so that you don't have to do it, although I recommend still that you do your own research, especially when it comes to security matters, but it's a cool software, Bitdefender for Android. I'm still in the free trial period, but... even though I didn't find any viruses on my phone, I'm probably going to sign up for it.
Prevention is the best cure there.
And it's so cheap, $15 a year.
Exactly. Yeah. I actually, on that note of security, I installed Avast on my Mac for the first time in many years. I haven't run any kind of security software on my Mac for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I tried it, didn't find any files, but software is very slick as well. So
Avast is good software. I've heard good things about it. Actually, yeah. It was one of the... There was a report that came out just in the last week, I think, that there was a certain type of new malware that got past most antivirus programs. I think there were 2 out of 30 or something that it didn't get past, and one of them was Avast.
Oh, great stuff. Well, I'll be signing up to that again, so yeah.
Yeah. Bitdefender for Android is my pick this week. I'll probably try and find something non-security related since I've been doing nothing but security for the last month. But I hope those picks over the last little while have been useful. And apart from our quiz results, that's our show. Let's get back to that quiz, though. I think it was quite an easy quiz this week, actually. Our first question, which mobile group this week reported its first loss in more than 20 years? That was, of course, MTN.
The second question, the world's largest music streaming service has surpassed 50 million paying subscribers. Who are they? And the answer was Spotify.
Spotify, which is still not available in South Africa.
Yeah, unfortunately. And it's such a great platform, such a great playlist features. We don't have access to it.
I know so many South Africans using it, though.
But how do they get access? I've tried all the workarounds. I just haven't had it to work. Yeah.
So I presume they're not running VPNs on their phones all the time.
No, I think you have to sign up. I think the credit card gets blocked most of the time, which is one of the issues.
So you'd have to pay via PayPal or something if you
probably
can.
Probably, yeah. And then you just have to log in via that region, I think, once in a while, and then you get access. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a pity. It's a great-looking service.
Although $10 a month, I'm not sure it's worth it, given that the local music service is a rev of 60 rand a month.
True.
You're paying 130, 140 bucks a month for Spotify when you could get Google Play Music, Apple Music.
The interface, I've started using a few more. I've been playing with a few other music subscription service, and the interface and the way that you can manage your playlists is now becoming a big thing for me. And some of them, like iTunes or Apple Music, don't work as nicely as some of the others would, for example.
Okay.
So Spotify is quite strong in that area.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, we digress.
Where was that? Number two. Okay. Question three this week. Sony this week announced a new flagship device that will go on sale in the autumn. The flagship is called the Xperia XZ Premium.
And the fourth question. Rob Schutte is taking over as MTN CEO soon, but the group has a new CFO. Who is that? And the answer, Ralph Mupita.
And our last question in our quiz this week, which company announced this week that will acquire 15% of Cell C? And the answer is Net1 UEPS Technologies. And that's our show. As always, if you've got any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. info@techcentral.co.za. And thanks for listening. Our listenership figures are going up spectacularly by the month. So we're very happy. Thank you for listening to the show. We're thrilled to have you. And it's your show, so if you want us to do something different, let us know. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Our email address again, info@techcentral.co.za. Until next time, from Rechel and myself, cheers.
Ciao, ciao.